Hi, welcome to the Holiday Park United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Pat Nelson. It's good to have you here. Come on in and look around. We have a lot of great people who love Jesus and are growing in their faith. We would love to have you join us for worship and join us in serving the Lord.
Would you please stand and join me into the call of worship? Power and might and majesty belong to God, our Creator.
Thanks be to God for God's mighty wonders.
Like the image of the wonderful wind in heavens as a garment, God's majesty is revealed in all creation.
We look around us at the wonders and marvel at the infinite variety and beauty which God has created.
Who are we that God should pay attention to us?
We are God's beloved children, the people whom God has selected to be compassionate and caring in our witness of God's love.
Would you please join me in hymn number 144, This is My Father's World. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making us
equal in your sight.
Thank you for knowing us thoroughly and still loving us completely. None of us is perfect without blemish. Yet you, Lord, because of Jesus, have called us your children and ask us to be compassionate and responsible in our caring and witness. Thank you for your trust in us and for pouring your abundant love on us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Colleen. At this time, I would like to invite the children to come forward. You guys are looking good. How are you today? It's gotten a little cooler outside, hasn't it?
Yeah, fall has fell. It's cool out. Spring is not sprung yet. That's coming down the road. We had spring earlier this week. I have a special guest for you. Now, I need to tell you, a number of years ago, my husband and I went far away on a trip. We went to a place called Zimbabwe, which is clear on the other side of the road. It takes almost a whole day to get there. And in your bulletin, you have a picture of Zimbabwe. This is what the country looks like. And the place where Paul and I visited was called Harare. And we went to some of the places around Harare while we were there. And we got to meet some preachers and some people and some kids your age. Yes?
Is that Texas?
No, it's not Texas. It looks a little bit like Texas, but it's the country of Zimbabwe. And maybe you can get your mom to show you on a map how far away Texas is from Zimbabwe. But while we were in Harare and those places, we met a lot of really nice people. And I have one of those nice people to introduce to you today. Maxwell, will you come over here and sit beside me, please? This is Mr. Maxwell Morongo, and he comes from this place. Oh, James, you have to take pictures. When we went to Harare, we were treated with such hospitality and friendliness. I was taking pictures all over the place. So for Maxwell to take pictures is not unusual. And while you may not all get to go to Zimbabwe in your lifetime and experience what we did, we're bringing Zimbabwe here. And so you'll get a chance to learn a little bit of the culture, a little bit of the lifestyle. Maybe you can teach us a word or two in Shona, which is the language. You can teach us how to say hello. And Maxwell is going to tell us about a little bit about his life right now. And he's going to tell what it's like to be a child, what you guys would experience, how you would walk to school. He had to walk almost 3 miles to go to school every day. He didn't have a school bus, so he had to walk. And he's going to tell what life is like for kids in Zimbabwe as well as for grown-ups. So this is Mr. Maxwell, and he's going to talk to us now.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hello, hello. How are you? You are good. I can see you're smiling. My name is Maxwell Mironga, and I'm from Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm the conference lay leader for Zimbabwe East Annual Conference. I was born in a family of five siblings, two girls and three boys. I lost my father when I was grade 7, around 12 and a half years, 8 to 18. That's when my father died. And from there, my mother, he supported us because my father was the breadwinner. So my mother had to support us to get school fees. And we had to walk to school 5 kilometers, which about three miles. 3 miles going, 3 miles coming back. And I remember vividly that we would carry bananas and oranges to go and sell at break time or lunchtime at school to try to raise money for fees. And some years down the line, I lost my mother when I was around 21 years. So I had to look after the siblings. So after finishing my ordinary level, I had to seek for employment. And I got employment to try and help my sisters and brothers to go to school. And I want to thank God that all of them, they graduated. And they are now, others are electricians. Others, they are working in different management offices, and we want to thank God for that support. When I was young, like your age, we used to go to Sunday school with the pastors and the Christian education teachers teaching us that God loves the children. God loves the little ones. We were told that don't hinder the kids from the heavens or for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is for the little ones. So I want to encourage you to pray, to sing, to do whatever you can go do at your ages, and make sure that every day you pray. How many of you pray in the morning?
Do you pray in the morning?
Do you pray in the morning? Yeah. Do you? Yes. Do you pray before you sleep? Yes. Good. Let's clap hands for kids. You are doing well. Keep on doing good. God loves you. God loves us all. And continue to do good to your parents. Listen to your parents and pray with your parents. Thank you.
All right. Now let's us have a prayer now before we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for Mr. Maxwell. Thank you that we can pray with our parents and for our parents and with each other, and we can talk to you just any time about anything because you love us and you care about all of the details of our lives. Thank you that we have a friend from around the world now, and his name's Mr. Maxwell, and we pray for him and his family, his wife and his son, and we pray for his church too, that they might know how much we love them because you love them. And we're friends now with Maxwell, and we can be friends with them too. Thank you that because of you, the distance doesn't matter anymore. We can be friends all the time. Thank you for your friendship with us. And we pray, Lord, that as the kids go off to Sunday school and we continue to learn about you up here, we all see how much you love us. Thank you for all these things, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go off to Sunday school.
Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah. He saved me, I've got the joy of the Lord.
Before I turn it over to the choir to sing, I wanted to draw your attention to this bouquet of flowers up here in the front. That comes from you, and I wanted to thank you for that. Pastor Parrish gave that to me this morning with a card in for Pastor Appreciation Month. And here's what the card says. Pastor, in you, God gave a guide who would lead us in his ways. In you, he gave a teacher who would remind us of his truth. In you, he gave a servant who would share with us his love. In you, God gave us so many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Holiday Park United Methodist Church congregation. So, thank you. You may not have realized that you did that, but I do thank you. What I told them earlier this morning is that it has been very easy to be the pastor of this congregation. God has blessed Paul and I with each of you. You all are serious about your faith. You're easy to work with. It's been a joy and a privilege to be here. That old song, Our Day Has Come, well, it really has. And we are thrilled to be sharing it with you. And we thank each of you. With this church, every day is Pastor Appreciation Day because you show us all the time how grateful you are that we can be working together, and I appreciate each of you. And I think, Bill, you can echo that from your time being here as well. Bill Starr's here with us in the house. It's a pleasure to be here. At this time, give your attention to the choir.
Thank you. Ellen.
I invite us to go before the Lord in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for being our all in all. Thank you for being the only one. And thank you for leading us here this day. Thank you that through faith in Jesus, we can leave behind and walk away from those things that separate us from you, and we can receive from you new life in Christ. Thank you for old friends and new who worship with us this day. For those gathered around us, for those worshiping online with us, thank you for bringing us to this time and this place to be with you. And thank you for refreshing us with the faith and hope and love of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your promise of eternal life and for the joy that you give us, that you have overcome this world. Thank you for all of the reasons that you give us to be grateful and say thank you. Lord, forgive us for those times that we've walked away from you. Forgive us for those times that we've complained and acted as though you don't have our best at heart. Forgive us for those times we've not trusted you. And when we've rebelled against you and refused to say thank you. Lord, please cleanse us and help us to start anew. Empower us to live as new people. Empower us by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to help us to reach out to others and offer them your life and your hope that comes through Jesus. Help us to show your love to everyone we meet. And as we consider those, Lord, who are sick, we ask that you heal them and comfort them. Those who are struggling with grief or uncertainty or indecision in their lives, please surround them with your peace and your hope. And for those who have not yet turned to you for salvation, we ask that you please save their souls, touch their hearts and their spirits, and help them to reach out to you so that they might know that only in you is their salvation and their complete healing. Lord, be with those who worship with us around the world today, those people in Zimbabwe. Thank you for Mr. Maxwell to be here with us. And we pray, Lord, that you be with his church and his family and with the churches in Zimbabwe and around the world who always tell others about you and who sometimes suffer for speaking out. And we pray, Lord, that you continue the revival that is going on in Zimbabwe and bring a revival here, just like the one there, where people love you and aren't afraid to talk about it. Be with the missionaries who tell people about you. Give them continued faith and trust in you. Lord, we also pray for the leaders of this world, and we ask that you help them to put you first as they make decisions that affect so many. In the midst of the tragedy that is in Israel at this moment, we pray for your presence there. We pray for your healing. We pray for wisdom to be with them. And we stand on the promise that you made to Abraham to bless those who bless Israel. And so, Lord, we do ask that you bless Israel and bless this whole world with faith to obey you. Hear our prayers for this world, for our churches, for ourselves. And we pray, Lord, that you hear these, our prayers, in the name and to the glory of Jesus, who is the one Lord and only Savior of this world. And hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The short story is that in order for the borehole to have a depth that will contain sufficient water to sustain people all year round, they're going to need to dig a little bit deeper than what they had originally anticipated. The original estimate of 300 feet would have reached water for the borehole, but the engineer has determined that they need to dig down about 500 feet, an additional 200, in order to make sure that they reach the water table sufficient to have water all year round. So that'll be an extra roughly $1,600. So that's why we need the additional cost for that, so that they can be sustained with water even throughout the dry season. So that's an appeal for you. I know God will bless us in that direction, just as God has already blessed us in so many other things. It's all about giving people life-giving water and trusting God to provide that. Let's stand and let's celebrate God's provision to us as the ushers come forward. We do praise you. You are so abundant in all that you are and all that you do and all that you provide. And so we give back to you out of the abundance with which you have blessed us. You have made us people able and willing to share generously. And so we ask, Lord, that you bless these tithe and offerings for the furtherance of your kingdom, both in this community and throughout the world. And may all that we do and all of the places these offerings and these tithes will go to be giving glory to you. And may the kingdom of your Son, Jesus, be lifted up and expanded throughout the ends of the earth. Thank you for all these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we sing Amazing Grace. You may be seated. Please give your attention to God's word as it comes to us through the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This time I invite Mr. Maxwell Morongo to come up and give his word from God.
Thank you, Pastor. Let me start by greeting you all. I greet you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get into scripture, allow me to share just in 2 minutes the Rushinga Boho. We want to thank you as Holiday Park Church for the support which you are giving us back home in Zimbabwe, for the drilling of the boreholes which you have done already, and this one for Rushinga. Rushinga is one of the driest areas in Zimbabwe. So as the pastor was explaining, the water table has gone so low such that they need to go another 50 meters for them to have sufficient water which will run throughout the whole year. So we want to thank you and we want to appreciate all the support which you are giving us in Zimbabwe. We also want to extend our gratitude to our bishop here, Reverend Cynthia Moore Kaikoi, and also Bishop Niwatiwa in Zimbabwe's conference for the partnership which we have. This really shows the connectionalism we have as a church. The water today for Rushinga is the life for the children and all the families for tomorrow. We really thank you from the bottom of our heart. May the dear Lord continue to meet you on the point of need as you live day by day. My name is Maxwell Mironga, and I'm the Zimbabwe East Annual Conference lay leader, and I'm also a delegate to the General Conference. I am married to Anesu, and we're blessed with a son who is now in his second year at the University of Zimbabwe. He is studying agronomy, agricultural development, and as I was sharing with the kids, I am from, we're born 5 of us, in our family. And I would like to thank God for affording me this opportunity to come and meet you and see each other face to face. We also want to thank the grace of God for the journey messes traveling far away, traveling 21 hours to get here. So we also want to thank God I also want to thank the hospitality from our pastor and all of you. May the Lord continue to bless you. Hallelujah. May you have your hair, wave your hands. Hallelujah. 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 That's what we do in Zimbabwe, in Africa, in our worship services. Pastor Patty, she can attest to that. She was in Zimbabwe where people would be singing, dancing, and all us praising God for the life. My brothers and sisters, we are here gathered today because of the connectionalism we have. If you go to Isaiah 23 there, when David is saying, God, you are my refuge and my strength. In this book, David mainly is talking of the relationship, before we get to this scripture, but the relationship which we have as Western Pennsylvania and Zimbabwe is the one which David was saying in the book of Psalms, when he was emphasizing more on the relationship. He demonstrated that the theology of the cross, where he was saying we have got a vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship which will form a cross. So David was saying we need this horizontal relationship as friends, as families, as a people. As Western Pennsylvania, as Zimbabwe, we need this relationship, we need this horizontal relationship which connects us as people. Then secondly, he said, the other thing which is very key now is the vertical relationship, when he was trying to illustrate the theology of the cross. So he was saying now this vertical relationship, after we have connected as people, after we have connected as two conferences, after we have helped each other to do balls and doing all those, we need finally the vertical relationship of us all with Christ. So we need this horizontal relationship which connects us as a people, as Christians, as friends, as families. But above all, we need now the vertical relationship which connects us all with Christ. Because Christ is the Alpha and Omega of our life. Going into our scripture, my theme today, which I'm going to share with you in a few minutes, is be a testimony of God's grace. Be a testimony of God's grace. Whenever you walk, you will forgive me, I'm used to walk around. Forgive me, please. When you walk, when you talk, when you are at work, you are a testimony of God's grace. Whatever we do in life, like what Paul says in Romans, we are here for Christ. My feet, my hands, and my mouth are here to serve Christ and represent Christ. So, day in, day out, we should know that we are here for Christ. Meaning to say, we are ambassadors of God. Whatever you do every day, make sure that we portray, make sure that we live a Christ-like life. When we meet our colleagues at work, they should say, "Wow, he is a Christian. Wow, see how she carries herself. He is a Christian." So be a testimony of God's grace in whatever we do in life, in whatever actions we do. We must show. It must be a testimony. It must drive someone to come to Christ. Going to our scripture, the book of Luke, most theologians, they agree with the background of Luke being trained as a doctor, as a medical doctor. These theologians, they agree that when Paul was writing his account, he put more emphasis, or he was so particular in trying to record each and every detail of Jesus' ministry. The other thing in his writing, he is showing, or in his writing, he is trying to portray or to bring out Christ, that Christ is for us all. Christ doesn't look, or Jesus was not looking at the status, but he came for us all. Whether you are accountants, whether you are doctors, whether you are at the lowest profession which you can tell or which you can say, but Jesus came for us all. This Luke is also the one who wrote Acts. And these theologians, they agree that Luke was a good communicator. He was a very good communicator in the way he does his thing. And this was coming out from his profession. Doctors are trained to be patient. Doctors are trained to be so observant. So these were some of the attributes which Paul was bringing out when he was writing this account. Getting to the scripture which Pastor read, Jesus was in his third year of the ministry, and he was traveling to Jerusalem with his disciples. So he passed through an unnamed village. This village, in the Bible, if you go into the Bible, they say an unknown or a certain. Other versions say a certain, others they say an unknown. But at the end of the day, this village, to me, I was taking it maybe it was a non-productive village, an undeveloped village. Because in most cases, where activities happen, where production is happening, those areas are named Galilee, Jerusalem, the city of happy, the city of peace. But this place where he was passing through, it was an unnamed place. It was just recorded as a certain village. You might be sitting here and you'll be saying, who am I? I have no name. Who am I in the community? Who am I in the society? Jesus is here today to pass through in your area. He's here today. He passes through an uncertain, unnamed area, undeveloped area. So when he was passing through, that's where he met these 10 lepers. Lepers, during this time, it was a terrible disease, a dangerous disease, whereby one, if one gets that disease, it was more like a journey to death, a journey to the graveyard, a slowly, long journey to death. So these lepers, they were in pain. And they were united because of their condition of the disease. You'll hear in this scripture, someone was from Samaria. So they were united because of their condition in the society. This certain village and unnamed village. That's where these laborers were taken. They were in isolation, living in an undeveloped area, living in a place which is underdeveloped. Like what's happening even today. You heard in when Pastor was praying, go there to Israel. People are in pain. People are crying. Go to Afghanistan. People are crying. Go to Ukraine. There are wars there. People are crying. People are in pain. Go to Morocco. In the last 2 weeks there, there was a cyclone there. So many people died in Morocco. The world is in pain. Go into our families. We are all in pain. Addiction of drugs. A lot of things happening in life. Go to Africa there. Most of the places are undeveloped. People are dying, no medication. People are suffering. The world is in pain. This is the time Jesus is passing through. When the world is crying, Jesus is passing through. When these laborers heard that Jesus is passing through, they knew their condition. They could run to Jesus with their condition. But the action they took, the first step of faith which they took, was to shout on top of their voices, Jesus, Messiah, Master, we are unclean. We've got so many areas, the way we live day in, day out. We have got those gray areas, those leprosy areas of our life, which calls for you today to rise up and shout at Jesus. I have been living with this condition for years, Jesus. I've got this high blood pressure, Jesus. I am asthmatic. I've got this condition, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I am unclean. It takes you, it takes one to have a step of faith to call to Jesus into your life. When Jesus heard this, he responded. Jesus heard, sees, and he responded. So the second action which was took by these lepers, after they recognized that they are unclean, they shouted, they called Jesus, and Jesus responded. He gave them an instruction. Oh yes, go and show yourself to the priest, as was the law during that time. If you take an action of faith, calling God, God listens. And he responds. It's not our duty. It's not our duty to say to God, I have shouted now, I want my response now. God responds in different ways in our life. So Jesus responded, go and show yourself to the priest. All of them, they listened to the instruction and they made a step to go and show themselves to the priest. As they were walking, as they were going now, they started to see changes. Hallelujah. They started seeing changes now in their hands, starting to see changes. They were being healed on their way. So it took them faith, very faith, to believe in the word of God, Jesus, that they will be healed. So 100% of them, all 10 of them, they were healed as they were going to see the priest. Because by that time, when you were healed, you need to go to the priest. You're supposed to go to the priest and get a clearance or a certificate which shows that now you are healed. Now you can rejoin your family. Now you can connect with your family. We all have sins. And we all have areas which need to be cleansed in our life. We all have those areas which, if you close your eyes and imagine, you will see, oh, this is the darkest valley of my life. But yes, Christ. Christ is here today to listen and to take action. So when they were going, they were healed. I was just imagining now the joy which was there. You know, when you were in trouble or you were sick for a very long time, now you are healed. I can imagine deep down in their hearts, they were celebrating. I hope some of them, they even trying to get, where can I get a phone, a good phone, a cell phone, a handset? Where can I get to call my family just to give a call? During this time, we have now WhatsApp, we have all these platforms, maybe taking a selfie. Now I'm clean. Now I'm clean. Now to share maybe on the Facebook, on the social medias. Whoa, I'm clean. I'm coming back home. I long home. I'm coming back to see my family. That's what we do when we receive something nice in our life, something God in our life. When these other nine were busy celebrating, shaking with each other, trying to go back to their villages and their families, one of them returned back, and he was a Samaritan. When he saw that he was healed, the first thing which came to the heart was, I must go back to the healer before I meet the priest. Oh, the price is on the healer more than the healing. The price is on Jesus, who has made me well more than the priest who is going to write a certificate. So when he was going, he made a U-turn, immediate U-turn, which he made. And back home, we have got a song which we normally sing. I need your touch, God. I need your touch, Lord. I want you to follow. I need your touch once again. I need your touch, Jesus, once again. I need your touch once again. I need your touch, Jesus, once again. So I'm imagining him singing this song, running to Jesus. That yes, the first touch was the instruction which you gave us to go and see the priest. And on our way, we were healed. Now I'm going for the second touch. I am going for the second touch. Hallelujah. Can someone say hallelujah? Yes, I need this second touch. I need this second touch in my life. We all know ourselves. You know your circumstances. You know your situations. Let's return back during this time of appreciating our pastors. During this time, we come back
to Jesus. We return back to Jesus and give gratitude. Oh God, you gave me this lovely family. Oh God, you gave me this job. Oh God, you gave me this, I'm healthy. Oh God, you gave me whatever I have. Oh God, you are so wonderful to me. I love this God. The God I have come to know, who have cleansed me, I will return back to Jesus and give gratitude. So he returned, going back, and when he got there, Jesus said, "Where they not ten?" Hallelujah. Where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? That blood of God which cleanses us. Where are the other nine? So he ran and he threw himself. Pastor, sorry, can you just come for a minute here? I want to demonstrate something here. I want to demonstrate something. Yes, can you stand? Utopia? Yes. She's representing Christ. Huh? She's our pastor. She's representing Christ. So he had to run from a distance, running from a distance, going back to the healer, running for a distance. And he didn't even want to give a hug. But what he did was to kneel down on the feet of Jesus. Kneeling down was a sign of surrendering everything he has. Surrendering the life. Surrendering everything into thy hands. Oh, we are nothing. I am nothing. Before I meet my family, I want to go back to Jesus and give praise and give gratitude, because he is the Alpha and Omega of my life. We cannot do anything. Our brains, our strength, our everything is nothing before God, because he is the author of life. So he went and knelt down to surrender on the foot of Jesus. Yeah, I believe he raised like what she is doing now. Oh, you can take a seat. So Jesus said now, where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? Were they not healed? So these other nine, they were healed and they went away celebrating. But they were only healed physically. The leprosy and everything. Only the leprosy, which was physically seen. But this Samaritan was healed in totality. You can hear it now. Jesus was saying, stand up, go. You are saved. And you have been made whole. Hallelujah. Now this, he returned back to God, to Jesus. And these other nine, they didn't receive the cleansing of the Spirit. They didn't receive some other things which were worrying them. They were only cleansed of lepers. But they still had that burden. It calls for one to return to Jesus. Can you sing for me that blood? 362, just one verse. 362. The blood which cleanses us. That blood. 362. Nothing but the blood. nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This blood will make us clean. This blood will renew us spiritually. This blood, when the world is crying, when the world is in pain, this blood, we need this blood to clean us. We need this blood to heal us. Invite this blood in your families. Invite this blood. Invite this blood as we move day in, day out in our lives. We need this God. We need Jesus. We need to make sure whatever the successes we are doing in our life, we are getting in our life, whatever those degrees, those successes, those monies and everything, we should return to Jesus. To give gratitude to the author of life. As you sing choir every day, if you do your practice, your choir practice, you got this gift from God, you should return to Him and give gratitude. Because of that voice, we have so many people who can't sing like myself. I'm not a good singer. But you are blessed with this gift. Give praise to God and return to Him. Every day of our life, we need this blood to wash us. We need this blood to cleanse us. The returning principle, I like the returning principle to Christ. Last Sunday, Pastor was preaching, and I picked when she was saying, God does not live in the church building, but He lives in our hearts. I like that, Pastor. Yes, it's not all about this building. So I connected your message now with this, that when this leper was returning to Jesus, He was inviting Jesus to stay in the heart. To be made whole, to stay in the heart. Such that you'll be a testimony of God's grace. He invited God into the heart. You are doing wonderful work. I visited the Mission Bank, and I saw the wonderful work which you are doing, the church is doing. Oh, glory be to God. And Paul says, keep on doing good. Don't tire to do good in God's house. How do we see Jesus in our hearts? We see Jesus in our heart by the actions which we do every day. As I'm also here representing Zimbabwe, also thanking you for what you are doing, also thanking you for the drilling and everything. I'm also coming back to Holiday Park, returning to Holiday Park to give thanks and praise for the work which you are doing. My brothers and sisters, this God we have come to know, He works wonders in our life. This God we have come to know, He loves us all. This God we have come to know, it's not late to come to Him. It's not late to return to God and give praise. It's not late to come and give gratitude to Him for what He is doing in our life. May this God we have come to know protect us. May this God who has come to know heal us. May this God we have come to know remove our burdens. May this God we have come to know go to Afghanistan there. May this God go to Ukraine and stop these wars. May this God, one of these days, show us that we are brothers and sisters. We are families. We don't need to fight. We are one family. May this God also protect our denomination during this time. May he protect us and may he continue to unite us as a family. And keep the main thing, the main thing. Christ above all. When Bishop Bigaton came to Zimbabwe some years back at our conference, when he was preaching, he spoke about keeping the main thing, the main thing. Keeping Christ is the main thing. Our main purpose is just to return to this Christ, to this good God we know, and give praise. That's our main purpose of worshiping together here. That's our main purpose of coming here together as families. Let's keep the main thing, the main thing. We need one another. We are a family. And may God continue to enlarge your territories. As you share with the world what you have, as you come back, as you return to Christ, may this God protect you. And may you continue to keep this faith. So that one of these days we'll meet together and sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus is our Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of our lives. That's why now David, you see him saying, oh, I have experience in this God. I know this God. He can protect me. We hear him now saying, he is my good shepherd. God is our good shepherd. He is our strength, he is our power, and he is with us. May the dear Lord continue to bless you. May the dear Lord bless Holiday Park congregation. May the dear Lord bless our bishops, our pastors, our clergy family, and us all as late as we journey in this faith journey. We want to meet in heaven and sing hallelujah, hallelujah at the end of our life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord, by your Spirit, take these words of yours that Maxwell has shared. Make them burn within our hearts. Take our hands and our feet and set them on fire in love and service of you. Amen. I invite you to stand and let's sing together Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
Oh,
before you receive the benediction, you will have two other opportunities this week to talk to Maxwell and get to know him a little bit better. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and then again on Thursday morning, he will be presenting a duplicate message on teamwork and discipleship and working together as the church. So I encourage you to come out and hear that presentation, but also come out and show your support. Get to know Maxwell a little bit better than what you have today. Also, I wanted to let you know next week, Reverend Liz Murphy will be speaking here. So with all of that in mind, may the grace and the power and the presence of God be with you. Be a testimony of God's grace to everyone you meet. Go in the love of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
This lady is going to the bore to fetch some water. Look, she's carrying a baby, and she has got a bucket and another small bucket to go and fetch water. You can see these people, they are fetching water in a river whereby they have to dig a hole and then take some water to go and drink at home. Because the area is dry, there's no water, so they come kilometers to fetch some water. You can see that water, they drink it as dirty as it is. You can see the area, this is the river where they are fetching the water. You see other women coming to fetch water. Magadi, magadi. It is dirty, but you just have to drink. There's nothing you can do. They've got no choice except drinking the water as it is.
We fetch water far away. Sometimes the water may affect some people's teeth. They may like be dyed. And then when other people are coming from far away, they are not feeling cool enough to drink our water. So we're asking for help if anyone could help us to drill a bore.
This child, she is at the nearby school. She fetches water at Chileu. Sometimes there's no water, sometimes there's water for them to bath and carry water for drink to school. She's in grade 1. She's saying that she's coming away a kilometer from Ebenezer. Hey, taking water by head. But she's saying if we put Popo at the church, it will be much closer for her. This is Sekuru Katsande. He makes people go and fetch water. This bucket, 2 bucket of water. Then he gives people a bucket of potatoes. Ish, it's just terrible. That's why we are asking you, Holiday Park, to drill a borehole in Rushinga at Rutuka so that people, at least they'll have water nearby. Thank you, Reverend Pets. Thank you, David. Thank you, DS Paul. Thank you, Sandra, for your wavering support always. We love you. Thank you so much.